Appreciate you. Amen. Oh, me. All right. It's glad to be here this morning. And I know the others would be here if they weren't sick. But let's see. Wednesday is Sister Nancy, you gonna be here Wednesday night?
Okay.
Which I can discuss it right now, but I just want to discuss it with the other two, which I don't see no need really discussing it, but starting first of the year, I'm going to take, and I would like to have a volunteer. But if you don't volunteer, all right, I'll just have to volunteer somebody to do it. Now, but starting first of the year, I don't know what week we'll start it in, but on a Sunday, we will have a Sunday, one Sunday a month, that we're going to set aside for that one Sunday, say, Friends Day. If you have a friend that's not in church or doesn't go to church that regular or whatever, and we need to invite them on them that particular day, Friends Day. And then at the end of the month, every who brings as many friends for that month, then we're gonna have something for the people to give out. But hopefully, maybe we can get some people enthused about that and get some of the other people. And, and we don't have to just tell them, say, we're having Friends Day this Sunday. And I want to invite you as my friend. And, you know, I've done it in churches and it's worked before. But I know it's been a long time since then, but still, I believe it'll work also today. We need to do what we can, and I don't think doing something like that's compromising God's word. But we need to do what we can to try to get people under sound doctrine. You know yourself today that we're not having, there's not much of sound doctrine going on out here anymore. Like I said earlier, I think it's a whole lot of this easy believism going on today, and they don't know what the word Christianity means. They don't know what the word being faithful, they just don't know what they mean. But we'll discuss that a little more Wednesday night. But y'all think about that and see. I mean, if y'all would like to do something like that, it'd be fine. Or you know, we need to do something. Or if y'all have something else that y'all would like to do, to where we can get people motivated in the church. And I know that you're motivated, but we need to try something different we haven't tried before. And I'm willing to try anything, because there's no need in having a place of worship to where we can come in and see this many pews is empty. I mean, it's no need in it. And if you have any suggestions, you think about 29 Wednesday night. And we're just, you know, we won't talk about it. And I'm not going to talk about it in length or nothing like that, but we need to try to do something different. And I'm willing to try anything, as long as it doesn't compromise his word. But today, for a few minutes here, let's turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I don't think I've preached this message before. I may have read some of the scripture that I'm going to be reading, but if I have preached it before, it won't come out the same way. It never does. And I'm so thankful that's the way that we need to live for the Lord. We need to live for the Lord at the moment that we're in and do what He's asked us to do at that very moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus. That Father, that it may not be many here in body today. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that You are here. And not only You, that You are here, Lord, and that You may just indwell within us. And Father, where Your Son, Jesus Christ, went to Calvary, shed His blood, and He died for us, that we could have the way out. We could have the free pardoning and forgiveness of sin, but we had to do something. We had to accept it on our own behalf. You are not the type of God that would drag anyone to the altar or to the place to where they need to get saved. You give each one of us that free will, and Father, we thank You for that free will. Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts, that we can go and we can heed the word of God, and Father, I ask You to come into our heart and our life. And I want to thank You today in Christ's name that where we can be able to just study Thy precious word. And as we study it, and Father, that we can get something anew and fresh from it each and every time. Now, Lord, I thank You for these people that's here this morning. Father, we know that others would have been here, Father, but because of sickness, they're not. Lord Jesus, we ask that You just be with them today. And our Father, we ask now that You may touch me. Touch these lips of clay, Father. Give me the anointing that comes from on high today. And Father, that we can all leave the house of God today and saying it was good to be in the Father's house. We thank You and we love You. We thank You for the reading of Thy word, that You may anoint it afresh in You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to start with verse 54, chapter 7 of the book of Acts. Chapter 7, start with verse 54. And this right here is speaking about the first martyr. And it's the first mention of Paul. It says, When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gashed on him their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, Behold, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stood Stephen, and there stood Stephen's calling upon God. Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on thy charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I want to look at verse 55 and verse 56. It says, but being the full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I want to look at the word right here, standing. Where Jesus was standing on the right hand of God, and he was there making a plea. He was making a plea unto God that God would bless the disciples. He would bless the people that had been following him, and that the Lord would help them. But we see also there that in this land where they was at was in Israel. The land of Israel, the Israelites. And we know that that's where the first church come about. But Jesus stood at the right hand of God. When Jesus Christ, when he was carried to the cross, he was there, he was hung down the cross, and then he was buried and placed in a borrowed tomb, and then he was also risen on the third day. And as he rose on the third day, he went back to heaven. He went back to the Father from where he came from. But before he sat down, the Father had something else for him to do. Jesus thought everything had been done when he said, it is finished. And then he gave up a ghost. He thought everything he had done had been finished. It was finished. But it wasn't to the point of where God the Father did not see upon the hearts of the disciples and the hearts of the men and the women there when they gathered there in the upper room there. When the disciples, when they gathered there in the upper room, and not only them, there was others. There was over 120 individuals there that gathered there. And they was the one, mainly, they was the one that was following Jesus. And they was mainly the ones that they called the multitude of people that followed Jesus from where he went from Jericho. From where he went through Jericho and he went to where Lazarus was there. When Lazarus was up in the sycamore tree. And he was also there when the multitude was there when Jesus had spoken unto Simon. And when he told Simon, and he said, Simon, Simon, he said Simon twice. He didn't say it one time, but he said the word twice, Simon, Simon. When he says something like that twice in the same sentence, it's important. And he wanted people to listen. And it says right here, it says in verse 57, says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. and ran upon him with one accord. They stopped up the wheel. They could not listen. They could not hear nobody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they was following the one that was doing all the miracles. Healing of the blind. Healing of this the Lazarus, brought him back from the dead. But not only that, we see where Jesus was standing at the Father's right hand there in heaven at this particular time. And what you're speaking about, and if you can go back and you can research it out, he's speaking about after the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he did go back to heaven. His intention was not to stay there on earth, because he said it was finished. He told his Father, "Father, it is finished. It is finished, Father." But then the Father noticed something. He noticed the multitude of people, the 120 plus his disciples, his chosen servants, was there in the upper room. And what was they there for? They was having what they call a pity me party. They didn't have no leader. They didn't have nobody that they could look to and lead them in the right direction. But they had been taught all of that. Even before the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he told Peter there. He says, "Peter," he says, "you cannot go where I go. You got something else to do." Well, basically, he's telling Peter, he said, "Peter, you got something better to do now." Just like us, we have something to do. Why does he leave us here? Why does he leave us in here in the United States of America, or in this world that is rampant with sin, rampant with everything else but the love of God? People is out here saying, "Oh yeah, I love God. Yeah. Yeah, I love God." Just like it said by over there in Matthew, I believe it is, where it's speaking about, say, yeah, say, "You know, when I hear, you know, prophesied in my name. You know, when I hear, and you have done mighty, wonderful works in my name." But where have you been? You're doing it in my name, but where you been? I don't see your name there written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't see your name there. Where you been? They're building up themselves. They're building up themselves towards the world, and the world's looking to them and saying, "Well, hey, man, look at what they've been doing. They follow God. Oh, yeah. They talk about God." Then they come into church on Sunday morning, come to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then they go back out. They'll live the Christian life on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, I'm not speaking of the people here, but I'm speaking of general people in the world that today, that's in some of these churches out here, that's in some of these large churches out here. They are hearing on the words of God, but yet they'll turn around and they'll leave the service and they'll go back on Monday and Tuesday and then all day on Wednesday, and they'll live like the devil. Then they'll come back on Wednesday night if they get a chance, if the head's not hurting. They'll come back, and they'll stand up, and they'll sing. If you'll be singing Amazing Grace of God, they'll just join in. They know the words. They know exactly what goes on in the church. They know how to put on the airs of a Christian. They know how to put it on. Why? Because the people that's in charge, the people that claim to be a Christian, you can claim to be a Christian, but where it starts on the outside. I'd rather see an individual come in here and live like the devil in here and then go outside and live the Christian life like that. But we must remember, we're coming to the church, into the house of prayer, the house of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't come here to serve Him. I didn't come here this morning to serve the Lord. I come here this morning and just thanking Him and worshiping Him for what He's done for me this past week. Where my test comes into play at is when I walk out them doors. When I go out into the world. When I go out in and I go into Lowe's. When I go into Sam's. When I go into Hardee's. When I go into McDonald's. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we must live the Christian life, is before the people that's not in church. Now this past Friday, I come down here to church, come down here to check and see if he in the mail. See if we're in the mail. Had two pieces and both of them were just junk mail. But as I was going back home, I had no need all day, and I said, "Well, shoot, I'm gonna stop up here at the diner." There was a restaurant right up here. I said, "I'm gonna stop up there and get me a hot dog." I stopped up there and got me a hot dog. Got me a cup of coffee and sat down and eating it. And not knowing, the waitress had come by and waited on me. It was somebody that I knew, but it had been a long time since I'd seen them. It's been 15 years. No, it's been probably close to 18 years now since I've seen them. And I asked her, I says, "How you doing?" She says, "Doing real good." I says, Are you still in church today?" She said, "Well, I have been," but she says, "It's been a while since I've been. Says they had some problems at the church, and I just got out." I said, "If you ain't going nowhere, why don't you come down and give us a try? Just go on down and visit with me." She said, "Where you at?" And I told her damn face. She says, "All right, I will. I'll come down there." And I didn't know, I didn't know she was out of church. We don't know who's out of church. Yeah, oh, they say that they're Christians, and they said, "Yeah, I'm in church." Where are they going? Where are they going? We need to take a stand. And as we take a stand, we need to build a foundation that we can stand on, that we can stand firm on, that we can plant our feet on. We also need to stand on the peace that God gives us. God gives us a peace that I can't explain it, but there's a peace that it just overrides anything and everything else. But there's a peace that only He can give. And as he gives us that peace will overcome us and overcome the worries. I had a preacher one time tell me, he says, you know what? He says, you know what worry is, don't you? I said, yeah, worry is a sin. He says, yeah. He said, well, why did... He says, why does God allow people to worry? He says, worry brings about people's faith. It brings about our faith and who we have our faith and our trust in. And worry will cause so many other problems. It will cause physical problems, cause spiritual problems, causes family problems, causes work problems. It just, you could keep going on and on and on what worry does to a family, to an individual, and to the lives. But if we have the peace of God, that peace will override all the worries that we have. And I know we worry. I worry. You can ask my wife, but I worry. I'm not just saying that just to be saying it. I'm saying it because, hey, I mean, sometimes, a whole lot of times this stuff comes back to me, but I worry. I think it's meant for a human being to worry. Really, when you come right down to it, think about it. Because what did I say worry brings about? It brings about our faith that we must put in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we all worry. If any of you don't worry, you sit there and don't raise your hand. But if you do worry, don't be ashamed of it. We should not be ashamed of anything. Because God already knows it. If we're going to be ashamed of it, we need to go to God and say, well, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for it. We don't need to go to the people. First of all, we need to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for worrying about this. Had somebody one time tell me, they says 95%, I think it was 95% of the things we worry about never comes about. Standing on peace. We can also stand on our salvation. The salvation that God gave us, we can stand on that. You know, there in the Bible it speaks about that we must work out our own salvation. And at one time, I was thinking, I was wondering about that. Work out your own salvation. And that was, I probably hadn't been saved all that long, and I happened to read that, and that kind of jolted me in a way, because I didn't understand it. And I was trying to search it back, and I was going to commentaries and dictionaries, searching, you know, I couldn't understand none of them, what they were saying. But one day there at work, the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. He says, work out your own salvation. He says, what that means is you need to work because of your salvation. You need to go and do the way you can increase your faith in Him. I had to work everything out, and knowing that what I was doing, I was doing it because of Christ. I was doing it because of the Lord of my life. That's what I was doing it for. And that's when I come to the realization it all ceased to be about me. I said, I don't love myself anymore. I love that drunkard, I tell you, more than I do myself. We need to get that in our hearts and in our minds, that we need to realize, and we need to let people know that we love them at all cost. At all cost. Now I do know that God wants us to use our heads as in a Christian manner and in a Christian way. As Shelby's mother would say, she would tell you, she said, God put something on your shoulder more than just a hat rack. It gives you a brain to use. And you need to use it. You need to use it to where you can be able to discern between this and that.
Then I can go to somebody else, like the same situation, that they will not understand what I told the other individual. I'll have to bring that in a whole new way. I may carry on the conversation with them and tell them that, hey, this is not right. And hey, you can bring a little human in them. Some people you can talk like it. Because everybody has a different personality. Just like right here. Five of them see. They're not number one, and two individuals are the same personality. We all have a different personality. And we must realize that when we approach people. The people that we especially, when we start going to people and visiting them in the home, we must remember one thing. And I was taught this the very second week after I was saved. When James Hughes, he grinded that thing to me. He was still catching me on this day. He says, don't go into the house and maybe become a face or have a different look or something like that. If you go in the house and you see a can of beer on the table, or you go in the house and you see a house that's filthy and your kids running around, and that, you just don't go in the house and say something because you're on their turf. You're in their pasture. And what they have, you know, in dark passing. So you don't need to be little again. They know. You don't know you need to be little. We should know going so well, you know. I have a brother that died. God's trusted to love him. I want to ask them, is that going to be invited back? It's a good possibility, isn't it? Why? I mean, I told them the truth. They know the truth. What they have got to learn how to grasp it and serve it. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this day. Father, we're so thankful. Not only did your only begotten Son leave heaven. Father, come to this earth and die. The sinner. But Father, you also came to teach the one that are teachable. That Father, the day will go forth and Father, abide by the Spirit. And listen. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for some thoughts, some things that you brought back to me, Father. And help us all, Father. Help us this coming week. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our